Hey everybody, Stu Smith and Jeff Nichols here with another Tactical Fitness Report. And today we are going to talk about ice baths, good or bad for your training. But before we do, Jeff, welcome back. And what have you been up to lately?
Yeah, it's been a minute, right? You and I, we pick up right where we left off. But just like you, I'm in the middle of my group training and it got me thinking, right? Because I talk to the class in the same way you do and build rapport with them. And we always get this thing, like with class starts, and I'm sure you do too, like everyone from all over the country kind of shows up from Texas and all these different places, Florida and Virginia, whatever. They show up and they don't know each other. Most of them never met. And they're kind of all like athletes, like standing around, like too cool for school, trying to like not be awkward, but they, you know, and then day one passes and then day two passes, day three shows up, and all of a sudden they're like, they're BFFs. And because what we see, and I'm sure it's similar to you, I'd like to get your thoughts, is like, these guys come from all over and they've never been around people that really want to train the way they do. And no one really understands them. Even sometimes families like, you're a little bit off. Well, then they show up with these guys and they're like, oh, my people. And then that's questions like, look and see, you see it and how they see it, but they don't know, like, look at how it improves the training environment. And like, that's like, it'd be a great topic for us to cover. Like, okay, great, Jeff, but why, like, how does it do it? What do you see? What does Stu see? We see a lot. And that'd be like, we'd love to share that with you.
That's a really good idea. Cause you know, when we're coaching a group of people that all want to go spec ops, you have just found your home. You have just found your people. And there's not many like you out there. Yeah. And, you know, I grew up, you know, I would have to work out with three different people in a day and organize it in a way that, you know, I would work out with a guy that's really good at running. That's all he did. Then I work out with a guy who liked to swim a lot, and that's all he did. Then I work out with a guy who liked to lift, and I go lift with him.
Yeah. That was my college. I did the same thing, right? I'd go work out with the track team, the throwers, or the short mid-distance people. And then I'd go work out with like the secondary, the drills they do, like their running drills after practice. I'd go swim or I'd work out. It's, you're just trying to build a process, you know. Yeah. These guys get thrown into, they get, I guess, thrown into a group of people where they're not in competition, really. Like if you're competing for a space on a basketball team, you only got maybe 14 to 16 spots, you know, like, you know, obviously there's only five on the court, but there's always, when guys show up here, they still have that residual mentality, but they're like, whoa, wait, there's space enough for all of us.
We're in this together.
You got guys, baby. Like they're Air Force, you got Army, and you're all like, wait a minute. Like, we're really all truly on the same team, like Team America.
Oh, I love it.
Cool.
I love it.
Yeah. So topic, right. It's coming.
So where can they find out about you? Performance First US.
Social media, Instagram. Yeah, social media. Jeff CSCS.
Yep. PerformanceFirstUS.com.
Performance First.
Yep.
There it is. That's where you find me, and the questions and comments will come.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So ice baths, good or bad? I have seen a lot of people doing ice baths, and I think a lot of people do them for the right reason. And I think some people potentially do them for the wrong reason and potentially dangerous reasons, right? Because anytime
I agree with all that,
anytime you see an exposure to extreme temperatures, there is a potential danger, you know, for hypothermia, hyperthermia, you know, if it's heat. So always start off with the risks, but then there are some also some benefits, and this is nothing new. You know, the ancient Romans and Egyptians used ice and snow for, you know, muscle pain and, you know, certain things like that. So
yeah, prophylactic reasons, you bet.
Yeah. So where are you on, I guess there's different types. So we got cold showers, you got cold water immersion.
Yep.
And then you have an actual ice bath.
Right? Yep. And then you can even have contrast, right? Those contrast are like the baths. Big four, right? Those are kind of like, or then you could throw in cryo, but cryo is the total exposure of an extreme that's really not performance beneficial. Like there's with everything, just know this. This is like where we've had to make a decision for a business, its benefit and its non-benefit. And the demographic we work out, we train with like you, it really puts in a category of there's certain benefits and certain things we would never even get involved in, you know, within this contrast ice bath conversation. So, you know, I think that, I guess I'll kind of start kind of organizing it this way. Me personally, like there, you know, we could say, here are some, like I went through a bunch of websites and I went through a bunch of research and basically I limit it to like, hey, what are the top five or six proposed benefits? And here's kind of what they are, right? So you have reduced inflammation, you have like muscle soreness mitigation. That's the other one we kind of talked about. It says aids in muscle or exercise recovery, which there's a lot of stuff. So we'll go through each one of these kind of lowers core temperature like that. So I don't see where the benefit really is for that, except for
only if illness you have hot, some things. Only if you have a high core temperature.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So like I'm trying, so this is weird. It's where people will classify benefit is it's really context driven. I think that's what we're going to spend most time talking about is context of these things. So you guys can make a decision. The next one is supports immunity, which is a real stretch, but we'll talk about that. The other one is improves mental health, which is such a stretch, but we'll talk about where that stretch comes from, I think. So, So then there's two things that for sure happen, what I consider negative, which is really will put me into why I use it and how I use it or why I don't. The two things that we know for sure that's going to happen on all of those with extreme temperature, whether it's a cold shower, it's too cold of water immersion, it's too cold of a contrast, and the ice is just ice. I don't ever really see a benefit in ice, especially for the demographic we deal with, because two things happen every time. You reduce the ability for the muscle to repair, right? And you reduce the ability for the muscle to grow. You completely stop or stifle those entirely. And so I go, okay, there's hormonal benefits, there's proposed benefits, there's mental health benefits. But I go, hey, listen, from a business standpoint, the people that we treat and train the most are people that are in a very extreme physical strain. And then we are going to throw some pretty cold temperatures in there. So what I don't want to do is add a component of what I consider recovery that is absolutely 100% of the time going to reduce muscle repair and reduce muscle ability to build muscle. And they're kind of one and the same. Like we don't need bodybuilders at Buds, but we really need the ability through this difficult training you guys do. We need to be able to repair muscle really readily, and cold ice contrast, all that is going to almost entirely stop that. But we'll definitely talk about some of the benefits for sure. And there are some, you know, but that's kind of where I stand or where we stand as our business.
Yeah, I would say, you know, inflammation, muscle soreness, overall fatigue can all be benefits from ice, or I should say cold water.
Cold water.
I have found that, you know, after we do, especially a summer workout, we're hot, sweaty, it's humid.
Yeah, right. That context, guys. Listen to his context.
Yeah. Yes. And then we go to the pool and it's not cold. I mean, it's relatively cold to my body temperature. You know, it's 75, but that is enough to bring my body temperature down to a point where I actually am no longer fatigued. I get that second wind. I've always said half of my fatigue is body heat related.
You know, you bet.
You can bring that body temperature down.
If you've run like an electric heater in a big space, your electric bill goes way up. Like, what does it have to do with the human body? When your body is producing heat and excess, the amount of energy, the amount of caloric energy it's using to cool itself, is profound. And so if you get yourself into cooler, not cold water, because we'll talk about the cortisol piece, which is really the linchpin for a lot of this stuff and other hormones for sure. But you're right. Like, and that's the context, guys, like that contrast can be very beneficial. So the research that I've read is pretty robust. The problem with research and contrast and cold baths and ice baths, you have to look at the demographic of who's being tested. Many times it's sedentary college or middle-aged men and women that have no background with these or with physical extremes and duress, right? It's and it's okay. It's okay that we're not comparing ourselves to those people, and you shouldn't necessarily. It's not a negative thing, but and that's where we got to start looking. If you're looking at contrast baths or ice baths, look at who it's being tested on. There are research out. There is research out there that's being tested on athletes on various modalities. Those are the ones with age and sort of context that have a bit more value. So just when you start looking at hearing contrast, your first question should be, all right, you're advertising a benefit. What research is saying that benefit? How are they tested and how old were they? Like just basic stuff. Sure. Like, cause you got to say, hey, if it's testing 65-year-old men and women that are, you know, have no training experience, putting them to physical extremes, it's likely they're not going to, their exposure to it will be far more negatively critical than someone who has really good aerobic base and has been training. You know, like the physicality of an athlete is far more resilient, we'll say.
All right. So let's do this. Let's get into who should use them and who shouldn't.
There we go. Okay. Yeah. You go first, Stu.
How about
that? Who have you recommended using them for most readily?
I would say high volume athletes, guys that are doing a lot of work, you know, and they get their body heat up and they can kind of cool it down a little bit. And I'm not saying the ice. In fact, I'm almost 100% against ice.
Yeah.
And mainly for this, in our world, there's really no purpose for it because Bud's water is going to be at its coldest.
It's the perfect temperature.
Probably 55 degrees. 50s. Yeah, yep. 55 degrees, which is a therapeutic temperature, I would call it, not
100%
a potentially dangerous one. Now, it is potentially dangerous if you're in there for over an hour just sitting.
Because the context of frequency and duration matters when we're talking about ice and cold. And that's you're right. The research that I've read robustly, the ones that are benefiting sport world and the contrast world, is not below 61 degrees Fahrenheit. And here's the kick in context. We had this. Some of the guys we trained in past with from Trinidad and Tobago. So way Southern Caribbean, like the 61 is way too cold for them. But if you're from Northern Minnesota or South Dakota and you've been, you really do have to take them to context because your nervous system is so finely tuned into where you live.
Yep.
It is.
Yeah. You know, another one too would be groups that are, highly active in a short period of time.
Yep. And then have to repeat another bout of training.
Yeah. Whether it's combative sports, tournaments, you know,
2-a-day footballs in the heat. You're right. Yeah. The context that you use is really the best, I think, for our demographic. It's, hey, we got a long run, a long swim, or a long physical bout of something, and there's a core temperature that's being raised. And hydration isn't offsetting that fast enough because the day temperature is also raising.
And the inflammation. And
so you bet. And this is chronic. Yeah. This isn't day one for these guys. This is week two at Bud's or week six with Stu or week five with me where there's an accumulative stress factor that's come up. And what we're doing is here's the deal. Here's one of the real kind of rules of thumb for benefit is, if you can't stay in the water, we'll say, well, what is comfortable? Like, because we got to define all these things for the person. We say, like, if Stu and I were going to jump into a cold water bath, he and I should be able to be still, have a conversation, be cool, be cold. But when you start shivering and chattering and you don't have the ability to converse, we know your nervous system is in a reflexive state. And we absolutely 100% know that cortisol is starting to be released. Which is like I mentioned before, that's the problem. Mm-hmm. Like you start getting cortisol and that's not something that you can ever mitigate really except for long duration, constant, like a Wim Hof exposure, like you over a long time. And that's where they say, hey, there's a mental health benefit, but not if there's a cortisol release. Right. And that long-term mental benefit only comes from long-term chronic use. choosing the appropriate cool but not overly cold temperature, then over time you can drop that temperature a little bit to drive a little bit more of a therapeutic response. But as soon as your body receives stimulus from cold enough water that it needs to start releasing hormones to offset it, right? In the negative, specifically cortisol, you are now regressing.
True.
Now, like, are you pulling blood during? You most certainly can. And there are places that do that to make sure they're not in a negative reflexive state when they get put into a contrast state. It's measured. That's how we know this does it. Now, how there's a negative reflex. But so I think that, you know, all of these negatives that center around cold really only center for me around ice. And you kind of already said that.
Yeah.
The only air quotes benefit that ice can provide and the time to use it is this, is if you have a serious wound that needs immediate occlusion or you have some pain, it can be prophylactically added before you get other medical attention. And the real extreme of life-saving benefit is I was in a space where someone got shot through the leg, through and through tib fib, and they packed that wound with ice and it saved his leg. So like, that's a crazy extreme, but you go to Major League Yankees, the Orioles, the NFL, whatever team, you don't see people icing their arms and knees anymore. There's a reason, because you don't heal muscle, you don't heal tendons, and you don't improve the tendon health by growth and repair when you add ice. So be very careful if you're icing yourself prophylactically.
Yeah. Yeah. That whole rice has been disproven for over a decade now.
Yeah. Just remove the eye. The compression, elevation, and rest is ideal. It's perfect.
Yeah.
But the ice piece is, you know, and that's like, you know, like we kind of, before I jumped on here, Catherine's like, hey, like, this is a great point for you to bring up, like, to the community, like, hey, people, what happened to cryo? Like that big, like, oh my God, everyone's cryo. And it was a scam from the beginning. You know, now the research that was driving the cryo, right, was specifically cryoing just your hands. Mm. It was at Stanford, and it was in conjunction also with the research of carbohydrate metabolization of, are you going to drink it? Are you going to swish it and spit? There's a lot going on with that study. But at the end of the day, they couldn't reproduce it outside of the hands.
Mm.
And that's where the cryo, whole cryo world came from, this study on hand temperature change. And it also,
were they trying to reduce body temperature?
They were trying to get a, like, it's like we go, you know, in a very high stress environment where people need to be drinking carbohydrates, because of the membrane of the mouth is so sensitive for osmosis, you can put sugar water in your mouth, swish it around, spit it out.
Yeah.
You get the glycemic drive, you get the insulin uptake, you can get a higher performance value out of it without, because problem with drinking hard carbohydrates is a totally different topic. Your body doesn't digest carbohydrates in excess of 7 to 8%, where Gatorade is like 35% carbohydrates in some cases. So where does this have to do with ice? So you can swish this water around and spit it and get the benefit of insulin uptake. But you can also, to drop the core temperature, the thought was, hey, because standing on a cold concrete slab, doesn't matter how warm you are, if you're standing on a cold concrete slab barefoot, you're going to get cold.
Sure.
So it's like, hey, how do we, in a hot environment, a military environment, how do we drop core temperature without getting ourselves covered up? So the thought was, what if we put our hands, because right, our brachial artery comes through here, mm-hmm. and our intervention for our veins, all of our wrists, this is where our thermostat basically is, of our body, and our necks, our wrists, our brachial artery inside our thighs. So if we basically cool the area in which there's a lot of blood flow changing direction, the thought was, hey, we can drop the core temperature. So they were using cryo, but they were getting a CNS benefit. They were getting basically down regulation. They weren't getting up regulation of cortisol. So everyone's like, cryo is amazing, it's total recovery, but it was just the hands.
Right.
So again, long answer, short question is like, you know, it really, there is a real benefit to contrast. But what we see is Catherine always says, my wife, she's like, you guys are just so extreme. You don't think to work to the middle ground. You guys jump right to, well, if cryo is good, why don't I just cover myself in ice head to toe? You know, and like, that's got to be good. That's pretty atypical of us warmers or currents, you know, just go big.
Yeah, that is true. You know, something I'll say too, that if you're an easy gainer, like as I have aged, you know, I can look at food and look at weights and I will put on weight. So I am now an easy gainer. You know, it may be beneficial for me to do some cold water therapy to avoid that hypertrophy experience.
You bet.
In gaining muscle mass, if I'm trying to reduce muscle mass, but I mean, there'll be some people that are trying to reduce muscle mass. If they're a 280 pound football player trying to get down to 200 pounds, there's some mass that has to be reduced. It's a mix of mass and, you know, muscle mass and bulk, but still, that may be another good group of people that it may be beneficial for.
Yeah. I think the big one is context of you and I. Like, okay, so you and I have the capacity to train at a very high level, but I would venture to say that we, like when we train with our guys, we just are highly efficient.
Yes.
Because we become that, not because we're special and hey, Stu and Jeff are so efficient and better. No. That's one of the things that you and I practice more, probably most prolifically, is being efficient.
Yes.
And so if my goal isn't to, if I'm efficient, I'm breaking my muscle down to a way that is much easier to adapt to and recover from. So exposing you and I to steady chronic contrast baths after we get done training, we don't get the negative cortisol reflex either, because we're also used to it. And also, you and I have been removed from the sincerity or seriousness to get through training. We've done it.
Sure.
Right. So looking at the contrast is like, or the context is key, because you go, there might be someone that's really, really ready trained and they're not, but you wouldn't know until you have that conversation. I guess what Stu and I are probably trying to do is avoid adding more stress to our athletes that may not be quite ready for it in context, not person, like, oh, they'll never be ready for it. No, this current context, it's not a good idea. But when you're in these environments and you're creating adaptation, yes, definitely you could do that. And that becomes like just a conversation that gets built on rapport from the coach and athlete.
You know, something I've also seen in our group of people that we train, you know, they also get into this cold water to test their mettle, not necessarily to help them recover or inflammation or fatigue. They're actually doing it to get used to cold water.
Yeah. And then why, like what's the mechanism, right? It's stress. Like why are people using cold water? Cause it's intensely uncomfortable. And so that's the question. So from that intense uncomfort, that intense discomfort, what's the reflex biologically, right? It's not good. And that's the thing. We go, okay, say good, maybe not. It's not beneficial for the adaptation in our demographic. And I think that's really what it comes down. It's like, you know, we really can find benefit for these ice baths and contrast. It's not ethical for us to blanket statement and say, hey, you should do it, because you guys are going to get really freaking cold already. It's not like you need to get used to it. What you need to do is understand its benefits and what its limitations are.
You can get cold in a swimming pool. You know, I was sitting there talking to a guy yesterday, and I was done swimming, and I was just sitting there, and I probably sat in the pool for like 20 minutes talking. And by the time I was getting out, I was starting to shake. You know, it does not take long for you to get cold. So, you know, cool water, absolutely. Cold, super cold water, ice water, you know, I think you're just playing with some chances of really not helping yourself.
You bet.
If you go too cold, that's the big thing for me.
Yeah. I think you guys should try it. I think you should set it up for parameters of benefit. And I think that most of you will find a benefit from a contrast. You know, where can we do this? You know, you could do it in your house, but the ideal place kind of do it is in locker room settings and pool settings where you can have a cold shower on or a hot shower on, and you can go from a cool pool to hot shower or hot tub to cold pool. Because the parameters, yeah, what we're doing is it's the temperature difference that is creating the positive hormonal catalyst. It's really not the extreme cold. Here's the deal. If Stu and I were to package a cold immersion benefit sort of seminar, like we really have to have a thermometer and we really have to like ask questions about where are you from? Like, what's your experience? Have you ever had a negative, negative experience in water, in a pool, in a lake, in a river? Because if the person has ever had an emotional negative response to water, when they get into that cold water, the reality is your emotional state's going to come through and you're going to dump a bunch of cortisol into your body. And that is a stress response that you, and here's the why we're doing this too. It's okay to learn to use contrast. We use contrast to learn to feel the benefit and to gain the benefit. What you don't want to do is just keep kicking yourself in the teeth, right? By getting yourself in cold water, thinking this is emotional benefit. This is emotional benefit. No. The emotional benefit really that should be advertised is setting real boundaries, right? And that's what's real difficult. Yeah. It's not difficult to throw. Like my 15-year-old son can fill a tub full of ice and get in it, but that's not the benefit, right?
Right.
You know, you have to create parameters for guys to receive the benefit. And you've done it before. You've done the contrast and you get out, you feel truly invigorated. You know, the largest organ of your body is your skin, right? Yep. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to really get the skin, get your nervous system to respond to that huge organ in a positive way, not a negative way.
Right. There can definitely be a dopamine hit for you.
You bet. 100%.
Yeah. Especially if it's not like,
yeah,
pure shocker to your system.
Yep. And almost here's the last thing too, is like, which is the real insight. Like I was going to a bunch of websites looking at all these benefits and every single one of them almost listed mental health. But if you look at the mental health side, almost every one of the mental health benefits, when you read the research, the mental health benefit was either accompanied with a mindset meditation piece or a breathing piece or both.
Yeah.
So we're saying, hey, get in this cold water and then meditate. And then we're going to measure you and go, look at how good contrast works. Like, no, it was all the meditation, really. Right. And that's what we keep every time we talk about mental health, someone's using this breathe stick or this contrast bath. And then when you keep going down that road, it ends up being some aspect of breathing or meditation really is going to drive what you're looking for. So you guys can keep getting in contrast breath. Get into contrast baths and ice baths, get out of breath, hyperventilate, and then get out, reacquire good breath and get that dopamine hit. Go, yeah, I did it. No, you just were really cold. You got super out of breath. And then you got a dopamine hit once your nervous system re-regulated. Good job. You just went and got punched in the face to get a cookie. That's what you got. You got punched in the face and then by that ice. And then you're like, good job, man. Here's a glycogen dump. Right. Mm-hmm. Once you get your breath back, here's a cookie. That's what you get. So you can come to my house. I'll punch you in the face and give you guys a cookie and we'll get the same benefit from ice bath.
Damn.
There we go. I'm not really going to do that. I don't have any cookies, but I will punch you in the face.
Well, tell me this, people who should not do them. Now, yeah. The ones I've read, you know, potentially dangerous ones would be, You have high blood pressure.
I said blood. If you're on blood pressure medication, problems.
Yeah.
Yep. Any heart issues, completely stay away. If you have any circulation issues like Raynaud's or anything else, I would really, 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 really avoid getting in there if you're diabetic too. Like that's a real problem and a real risk.
That's
so here's, and this is where the problem is, folks, is the big health issue is there is a health hormonal benefit, but if you put someone at risk, like the ice is not a funny thing. Ice will immediately throw someone into a cardiac issue if you're not careful. So in the interest of being healthy and motivated and tough and all these things, like there's nothing more sexy and tough in my mind than telling the truth and doing it right. So don't be a gimmick. Don't be that guy either.
You know what? Every time I hear about a new or, I mean, this, in this case, it's old. It's an old form of muscle recovery. I always go back to, is it better than getting a good night's sleep and eating well and knowing how to breathe? It's better than those three, I will listen.
You bet.
Everything else is just,
you bet,
is just where everybody spends their money. Some people spend $10,000 on these tubs.
On cryo. Yeah, it's crazy. I know people that have cryo in their house, right? So, and that is funny you mentioned that the last piece about the benefit, right, is it's aids in exercise recovery. We're talking about, you talk about a health and sleep. So the aids in aid in exercise recovery is hinging on the statement of, oh, you get vasoconstriction, vasodilation that forces nutrient-rich blood back into the muscles. Okay. Nutrient-rich blood only is for people that are eating right and sleeping right. So if you have, you've been eating processed food primarily for your diet and you jump in this ice bath, you created a cortisol response and now your body floods this diseased tissue, this diabetic heart disease tissue with non-nutrient rich, non-oxygenated blood, it forcing it into damaged cells when you have a cortisol spike. Like that is a recipe for extreme cellular damage and free radical issues. So I'm not interested in flooding my body with free radicals and problems with my nutrients. So if you really want to get any sort of residual hormonal benefit that is possible with contrast, Stu hit it nail on the head. If your sleeping is poor, we know your cortisol's up. If your diet is rich in processed food, we know that you just basically vasoconstricted and vasodilated unhealthy veins.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we have a, again, I'm guilty of it too, is we in the fitness world tend to put fitness before health and wellness. In contrast, an ice bath for me is health and wellness before performance. So pay attention to what it is, because yes, there's a benefit to be had, but you got to be smart about it. And so you can get the benefit, because there are benefits without a doubt. But just understand context a little bit better.
Yeah. The one thing I wanted to bring it up is, you know, it's very trendy right now. I mean, everybody's, you know, jumping in cold water, ice water, breaking ice and then getting into it. And, you know, and then you see the gurus like Wim Hof, you know, who've been doing this all his life. You know, he is, you know, and I get what he's trying to do and, you know, teach people about the mind body.
It's a bigger picture than ice, you know, it really is for him.
It is a very bigger picture. And, you know, I think unfortunately some people who aren't really that informed with what ice is actually doing to their body can really hurt themselves in a way that, you know, is really unnecessary,
especially in our demographics too, right? Like our demographic, we're fortunate as coaches. I think we are. We get so many truly authentically motivated men and women, and these men and women at the risk of their own detriment will take the advice of somebody trying to do right. If someone, even me, has given advice, you know, that's why I'm really trying to be very clear about the advice I offer around these topics, because people might just glean on some of the short-term verbiage and go, oh yeah, ice is good. Like I heard Jeff say ice is good. But this is where being a student is so important, like especially in the tactical space, guys. We are asking you as tact as professional soldiers, when you're our soldier, to be mindful of all those things, right? We're asking you now also to be as professional soldier going in, to be mindful of your health, right? Because if you get mindful of it now, you can really use its benefit in context when you get into selection, get through selection, and you have these things available to you.
Yeah. And, you know, I guess people who are listening to this who might be heading towards selection programs, and if that selection happens to be on a beach, on the Pacific, you know, you can actually use the cold water of the Pacific for some quick recovery, inflammation. All it takes right now, think of it this way. All it takes is to look at pictures of Hell Week graduates in the winter versus Hell Week graduates in the summer. And you can see the amount of inflammation that is, you know, the difference in between the colder water and the warmer water. Mainly because, you know, it's easier to get them cold, so they put them in the cold water, and they just run them more when it's not easier to get them cold. And so is definitely there. So, you know, you can definitely find useful ways to use cool water, cold water even, but you know, if you're breaking up the ice to get into it, my suggestion is, get away from it, because sometimes that ice can get up against your skin really tight. And if you're in there for too long, next thing you know, you're flirting with frostbite. Hypothermia, and that's just going to set you back versus help you.
The one way we the way we use it, here's a way I prescribe it for our guys. I can't do it for the class now because the water temperature right now is about 52 degrees. So once the water here in Virginia Beach gets to 61, once it gets to 61, or that's it might good. Be 50, it gets to 58, but that's 75 degrees or 80 outside. So once the water is at 61, what I have my guys do is after heavy volume, Stu already mentioned it, heavy volume day, I send them to the beach. I have them walk at about thigh high water, just above the knees. I make him bundle up and stay warm up top. I have them walk in the water for 2 minutes down one way. I have them come out and walk back a minute or two, get in. They just do loops. I have them do loops from, depending on the temperature of the water, starting at about 22 minutes of total time of loop. So into, out a minute, into, out a minute there. So now we have locomotion also with contrast. So I keep them in there for 22 minutes. If the water temperature gets above, like it starts getting warmer here in the summer, we'll keep them in there for 30 just because it's cooler. You know?
I like that. That's a great idea.
That's what we do. We walk loops.
Yeah, that's perfect. Perfect.
And I learned this from the Australian Institute of Sport. They have a contrast lazy river in the recovery center. It's a lazy river. They have two of them. One's a cold and one's hot. So they get in little floaties and they float. And it takes a certain amount of time to float around the cold. Then it's a nice little ramp. They walk out. They walk into the hot and they float for their 2 minutes. They get out and they're prescribed. You're going to do it 6 revolutions, 8. And so we were there. The rugby guys were there. So high volume work. Yeah. Right? A lot of those guys were doing it. We got to do with them. It's like, oh, there's a real. And then the person that ran it, her name was Shona Howson, Dr. Shona Howson. She's director of recovery and sleep at the time. And I just got to pick her brain and understand timing and context. And we just kind of reproduce that loop, that 2 minute, 1 minute loop. It's been helpful. And it's the same context. We say, hey, when you go to Buds, you know, like, you may not want to get in the water, but when you get in the water, if you're not too beat up, try to switch that brain to more of, hey, this is therapeutic.
That's a good way to put it. You know, anyway, when you're out
it's
there,
hard like, switch this, over, this but you can
therapy.
Try.
This is therapy. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's therapeutic. Yeah, it's supposed to do this. Yeah.
All right, Jeff, I think that's pretty good.
I think so. I think we've covered it all, or as much as really, again, the summary is, it's context, guys. Look at the context and then you find your benefit that way.
Yeah. Yeah, it can be useful, but it can also be dangerous. So be careful in how you use it.
You bet.
Jeff, you guys can check out more over at performancefirstus.com, Jeff's website, and also Jeff CSCS over on Instagram. He's posting some really cool stuff over there with stuff that he does. You can find me, Stu Smith 50, over on Instagram, and StuSmithFitness.com. So until next time, we'll do something again. Maybe we'll talk about finding your people.
Finding your tribe and training
their people. Spec Ops trading. Spec Ops trading. That might be a fun one to do next time. So until next time.
Yeah, we'll do it again soon.
Till next time, folks. Have a good one.